My first term of seminary training was in the summer of 2000. To say I was nervous to be back in school after a 16-year hiatus would be a gross understatement. The fact that I was in class with seasoned priests working on an advanced degree and had had only 2 years of EFM and had dropped the only religion class I had dared to take in undergraduate school only served to elevate my anxiety to near stroke level. The two courses I had enrolled in were Episcopal Church History and Romans. The Romans class was taught by a professor who had a newly published book entitled A Preface to Romans, which along with 12 commentaries was the book we were to read prior to coming to class. The professor's name was Christopher Bryan, and he had been rumored to tell students, "You'll make a B if you teach me something I don't know, and an A if you teach me something Jesus doesn't know." Needless to say, I tried to sneak in the first day of class and remain anonymous as best I could, hoping not to fail out of the class entirely. I did not fail out, but I didn't remain anonymous either. I'd always been curious about Mark's story about the Syrophoenician woman, where it seems as though the grit and fortitude of this brassy woman convinced Jesus to change his mind about whom he was called to serve. So one day, near the end of our 5-week class section, I made an appointment to meet with Chris. At the time, the professors at Swanee demanded we call them by their first names. So I met with Chris to ask his opinion. Did Jesus actually change his mind, or was this a time in which Jesus was trying to expand the minds of his disciples? A few years prior, Chris had written a book entitled A Preface to Mark. And so when I asked what he thought about this story, he jumped up from his desk chair, grabbed his book from the bookshelf, and said, "Well, let me see what I think." After finding the page he wanted and reading along for a moment, he said in his wonderful British accent, without raising his eyes from the page, "Well, it seems I've changed my mind." And why, you might ask, am I sharing this story with you? What on earth does the Syrophoenician woman have to do with the readings we have before us today? And the answer to the second question is absolutely nothing, other than they're all scriptural. But as I read again our reading from the Gospel of Luke and thought more and more about the incident we have with Jesus and the woebegone sisters, Martha and Mary, that incident in the office of Chris Bryan came to the front of my mind as I realized, it seems I've changed my mind. Or maybe not changed my mind entirely, but broaden my understanding of Jesus and what this story is really all about. Previously, as I read this story of Jesus' visit to the home of Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus, who is not included in this event, I had always heard the words of Jesus to Martha as a harsh rebuke. My 21st century, overachieving, always busy, stressed out by too many demands on my time ears, heard Jesus telling Martha that she should be more like Mary, that she needed to just chill out, that she was focusing all her energy on the wrong thing. I heard Jesus giving Martha what for. And as I have thought more and more about Jesus, and read more and more of Jesus' words, and gotten what I believe to be a better handle on who Jesus is and what he really expects of his followers, I have a different understanding of the crux of this story and why Luke has included this particular incident in his gospel, and moreover, what we should take from this unusual situation. To quickly recap, Jesus has come to Bethany, to the home of his friends, Martha and Mary. Martha, from all accounts, not just this one, has the lead role in this household, which in itself is a bit unusual since the two women have a brother, Lazarus, who is on site. Martha, apparently knowing that Jesus was coming for a visit, has spent the day, and perhaps even more than the day, preparing everything for the arrival of their guest. By the time Jesus arrives, Martha is worn to a frazzle and is not just a little bit unhappy with her sister, who has apparently done absolutely nothing to help Martha in the preparation, and is now sitting at Jesus' feet, taking in his every word. Perhaps Martha would like to be doing that herself, but her duty-bound drive to get everything done will not allow it. But rather than say, "Hey, Mary, could you help me out for a minute?" Martha decides to try and triangulate the situation and get Jesus to solve her problem for her. She says, trying to get Jesus to take her side, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." And much to Martha's surprise, and perhaps ours too, Jesus does no such thing. He seems to do quite the opposite by saying, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." And here all the listless couch potatoes are saying, "Yay, see, I told you you didn't have to work so hard." There may be a point there. But let's shake this up a little bit and see if maybe there's more to what Jesus is telling us than that it's better to be contemplative than busy. If we look at the whole of Jesus' teaching, his words to those who would listen and those who would follow, we see that Jesus is not very interested in keeping score. In fact, the scoring of Jesus is quite ridiculous by worldly standards. Forgive 7 times 70, love those who persecute you, pray for your enemies, turn the other cheek. He also says things like, "Blessed are the peacemakers," and he rewards those who are humble and lowly of heart. Here in this story, Martha is trying to best her sister. She's trying to find favor with Jesus, not by serving him from a generous heart, but begrudging her sister. Perhaps the distraction and worry of Martha that Jesus points to is not her busyness, but her attitude toward her sister that has her in knots. What if this story is not just about Martha's focus on her busyness and not taking time to sit at the feet of Jesus, but is about her resentment of her sister and her attitude towards Mary? Jesus, after he told Martha that she was worried and distracted by many things, goes on to say, "There is need of only one. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." That had to crumble Martha. She had been working so hard to make everything right for Jesus. But what was the better part that Mary had chosen? What is it that will not be taken away from her? The thing that will not be taken away from Mary is the teachings of Jesus. But Martha actually got those too. Remember the later story where Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary, has died? And Jesus has been summoned to come but did not arrive until Lazarus had been dead for 4 days? John records that event in this way. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to him and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." Martha, too, has chosen the better part. She understood who Jesus was and what he was about, bringing life to the world. Perhaps this understanding happened after this tense afternoon where Martha misunderstood what it means to live as a member of the body of Christ, where she misguidedly thought that pointing a finger and finding fault with her sister would gain her favor with Jesus. Maybe she really listened to what Jesus had to say at dinner that night. Or maybe she asked her sister to share with her everything she had learned. The end result is the same. In the story of the death of Lazarus, John's words start with this: Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Martha was not unloved for one moment. She just needed a quick reminder. She needed a reboot so that she would continue the work that she had been given to do joyfully, not resentfully, not keeping score, not pointing fingers, not worrying about anything but herself and her place as a follower of Jesus. Amen.